Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I just want to be able to use the word.
You wanted to be able to use this word against an employee.
It was not so much that, Mr. Hendry, as just being able to use the word and express frustration I think every American is expressing or is feeling right now.
Mr. Wireman is your attorney. Mr. Wireman, tell me about American rage. This sounds like that black rage thing we heard about.
No, it certainly is not, Mr. Hendry. American rage is a very real feeling that American citizens by the millions are experiencing. It is justifiable anger against an ungrateful and trivial world. Since World War II, we have seen our flag burned in every country of the world, and of course our citizens murdered.
But gentlemen, Mr. Green is accused by this Mr. Donatan, an employee of his, and for those of you who are just joining us, Robert Green is the CEO of Fraser Foods. He has filed a countersuit against an employee who sued him. You used a racially charged word.
Yes, sir.
Against an employee because you just simply wanted to use the word.
Yes, sir, that is correct. I just felt, as my attorney has just indicated, millions of Americans are feeling this rage at not being able to express how they feel about the very unfair way our country is being treated internationally right now. And I want to set the context, if I could. Like a lot of Americans, I've seen picture after picture of these beheadings, people making a much bigger deal out of these Arabs in dog collars. I've seen people all over the world, as millions of Americans have, calling us names. The average American can't do anything about it. We're not allowed to do anything about it. We're not allowed to say anything about it. And by virtue of the OSHA standards and the equal employment requirements, which I'm very familiar with as an employer, we cannot say how we feel in the workplace, a place where we spend 80% of our day. And all I wanted to do, and maybe it's wrong, at this point I'm not willing to say, I just wanted to say the word. It's just say it and get it out of my system.
All right, this is the gentleman that you were talking about, Mr. Co Donatan. Where is he from?
My understanding, sir, is he is from Singapore. He's a employee, or was an employee of Mr. Green's.
He was my produce manager.
Did you like this man?
Well, that's just it. I didn't really like him, but that had nothing to do with it. Here's this guy from another Arab country, and he's over here, and meanwhile, Arabs are killing our people. And,
well, he's not. He's from Malaysia, which is not an Arab country. It's a Muslim country.
Well, the Muslim country, that's what you meant to say, correct?
Yes, sir.
Well, see, right there is a problem. You got to understand what it is you're talking about. So you went over to him and you said what?
Yes, sir. I was watching him set up a display, and I walked over, and I wanted to be able to say it. I just wanted to say, you're not allowed to say it anymore. And I wanted to say it because I felt like it was going to explode. And I walked over to him and I said, you mother-loving raghead. And I just wanted to do what millions of Americans want to do. And we always get a finger wagged in our face. And we're told we can't. I wanted to call this guy a raghead.
Mr. Wireman, is that your understanding?
That is my understanding, yes, sir. He called him a mother-loving raghead as the result of an enragement that Americans are feeling and are not allowed to express it because of the politically correct environment that we are living in.
Well, all right. Our number, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, listening in from wherever you are tonight, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. This is a story about calling a man a name because you just felt like calling him a name that is difficult because, first of all, you say you wanted to call an Arab. Well, he wasn't Arab. He's from Malaysia.
Well, he was a Muslim, I think.
Well, he may be a Muslim. Did you want to call a Muslim that name?
Mr. Abbas, this is about the Muslims that are causing our country all kinds of problems with their murders, with their...
All right, then that's a specific kind of Muslim. You can't just call everyone...
Well, it didn't matter at that time. I saw this guy...
You hired him.
Yes, sir, I did hire him.
All right, so you hired this man knowing that he was Malaysian, knowing that he was Muslim. He's good at his job, right?
Yes, sir, he is.
Why don't you like him?
I don't like him because for a lot of reasons I don't like him. It's always the women. My understanding is he has had sexual relations with a lot of the women who work for us. And
but this doesn't have anything. Well, we're talking about American rage.
Well, I want this defined. American rage. Is this a clinical diagnosis? Is this based on any kind of psychiatric evaluation?
I have depositions from a half a dozen respected psychiatrists in the field of employment psychology, Mr. Henry. It is now believed that millions of Americans are at risk health-wise because they are feeling justifiable anger at other countries and cultures, yet they are not allowed to express their feelings due to an oppressive atmosphere in this country. And this can cause serious depression, physically manifested symptoms, and so on. And
I just wanted to be able to call, to say raghead. I wanted to call this guy a mother-loving raghead. And
well, this man was a good worker. Was he a good employee? I'm sure that this gentleman felt unfairly castigated.
This has nothing to do with Mr. Donatan. This has to do with Mr. Green suffering from a malady that I think millions of Americans, I believe it will create a healthy environment when people can get this off their chest. And certainly I foresee a time when a man can call another man, right now this is inconceivable, when a man can call another man the N-word. And it won't be.
What are you talking about, the N-word? Are you talking about calling a white man, calling a black man that?
If I could jump in, yes, Mr. Henry, my feeling is there's not really hate behind it. I just want to be able to do it. I just want to say it. No one lets me say it. But I just...
You understand.
All right, well, what I'm hearing here is a man who wants to be able to use a word that is prohibited, I suppose, socially. And if he's not allowed to use this word, he will suffer serious psychological depression. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir. I'm saying that...
Doesn't that sound childish?
Not in the present context of the world that we live in.
Mr. Henry, please understand that our country right now is engaged in a battle to free the Iraqi people. We're getting absolutely no gratitude for this whatsoever. Our soldiers are being killed. Our citizens are being killed. Even our own people, the American people, are exhibiting a lot of people are not, you know, they're not exhibiting courage, I don't think. And I just want to say,
you have a frustrated businessman.
Well, first of all, he owns the business. He called one of his employees a raghead. He called...
You can't go anywhere without seeing an American getting his head cut off and naked Iraqi prisoners and dead. So these three ingredients make a very volatile situation.
And they also make a volatile civilian.
Let's get back to you saying, foreseeing a time when it would be healthy for a white man to walk up to a black guy and call him the N-word. You really think that?
Yes, sir. I'm saying it would do so much to help clear the air in our country if a white guy could just walk up to any black man and say, how you doing, you know, N-word.
Well, you're going to get yourself killed.
I know, but did you see... If you put it in the see, that's...
And that's not even American rage, is it?
No, that's not American rage. That is just...
Well, that's just plain race hate.
No, it's not just... It isn't just all black people. It's just the violent criminal ones.
Like rappers and people like that.
Just walk up to a rapper and say, how you doing, N-word.
Yes, sir.
All right, we're talking with Harvey Weierman and Robert Green. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Green, one day at his workplace, walked over to a Muslim employee of his and called him a, quote, mother-loving raghead. You say you did that, Mr. Green, because you just wanted to be able to use the word, that it is prohibited from being used socially, that you are called a racist if you use it, and so on, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And you are feeling that, and Mr. Weierman, you are describing a condition that you call American rage, which you believe is a psychiatric condition suffered by millions of Americans who cannot get off their chest how they're feeling about the world condition.
Yes, sir. And again, let me emphasize, American rage is a recent phenomenon born of the era just past World War II, where after freeing the world and protecting it from a horrific dictator, the American people were treated as pariah and have been increasingly insulted the world around the world. And what do we get for foreign aid and everything else?
Why can't I go out and say, you stinking rag? You know.
And again, you can hear that.
I'm hearing a little bit of irrationality here. I'm hearing...
You're hearing rage. You're hearing American rage. You're hearing American rage. Steve wants to talk to you.
I just want to walk up to a guy and say, you filthy...
I didn't hear that.
All right. Hold on. Hold on. We countersued him.
He sued you for a hostile work environment, correct?
That is correct. We countersued him for creating an American rage environment.
Well, this is what I don't get. The guy is an innocent worker working for a living, standing there working the produce department. He's one of your managers. You walked up and called him this name. How did he know he was creating rage?
It's not his fault individually. It's his fault culturally. Because he came here, he should have known it was going to...
There should have been some awareness, Mr. Henry. Again, it's Mr. Wireman.
Yes, sir.
There should have been some awareness on the part of this man that by showing up in America, he was going to, make some... He was going to provoke some people.
All right, hold the line, gentlemen. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Harvey Wireman, attorney at law from San Marino, California. Mr. Bob Green, his client. They are countersuing an employee who alleges race bias or a hostile work environment. Mr. Green walked over to an employee of his, called him a raghead, said that he just wanted to say the word. According to Mr. Wireman, Mr. Green is suffering from a condition called American rage. You know what? It sounds a lot like this black rage thing, which they tried to proffer during that Long Island Expressway shooting, that millions of Americans are increasingly angry and frustrated and don't know how to express it due to a repressive social environment. As the result, they are getting increasingly enraged, and he expressed it to this man, an innocent man, an employee of his, an innocent Muslim employee. He called him a raghead, wants the right to be able to do that. Otherwise, we've got psychiatric problems. You know, the world is just spinning a little too fast for me these days to keep track not only politically of what's going on, but in the sociologic and psychological world, it's spinning a little too fast. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. American rage. Are Americans tired of not being able to use these words, raghead and other words? 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, back in a moment.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Truth, justice, comedy. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm talking with Harvey Wireman, an attorney, and Robert Green, the owner of a groceries chain in Orange County, California. He called an employee of his a raghead because you just wanted to call him raghead because you're not allowed to say raghead. Is that correct, Mr. Green?
Because the social environment...
Hold on, Mr. Henry. Mr. Wireman, I don't want it to sound as if Mr. Green's being childish. Americans are feeling...
I know. You're saying Americans are feeling enraged and they ought to be able to express their rage by calling people names.
They're not... No, not by calling people names, just to be able to say the word. Why can't they say the word? In traveling the last 2 years, I traveled through many parts of Damascus. I was in Syria, and I traveled there with an exchange group of attorneys. I was also in Lebanon with an exchange group of attorneys as well. And I was not allowed to use any terms such as raghead or towel jockey or this kind of thing, or sand jockey.
And you're in Syria.
What difference does it make?
You're in their country. You want to be able to call a guy a raghead in Syria.
I'm an American citizen who has been deprived of his right to express his justifiable anger at the way we've been treated internationally.
That's my point, too, Mr. Henry. I wanted to be able to travel to these countries and say these things, but I'm not allowed to. I'm not allowed to look at a guy who might have a bomb on him. I'm not allowed to look at a guy who might fly an airplane and crash it into people. I'm not allowed to look at him right in the face and say, you mother love you.
I can hear the anger in your voice.
Oh, you can understand.
I'm angry because I can't say you, sand, and then use the N-word.
Tell you, Mr. Henry.
Well, that N-word thing.
Well, hold on, Mr. Henry. We live in a country that has freedom of speech. Why can't Americans use that right of freedom of speech to call each other to vent their frustration? My client can't even call him the guy a raghead. Why? Because he's an American who's not allowed to use free speech.
Look, can you tell me, you're an attorney, Mr. Wireman. What is the essential truth behind a thing called hate speech or fighting words? In other words, if you say to a man, you're a white man, you walk up to a black guy and call him the N-word, that guy is justified, in the eyes of the law, he's justified in clocking you. I mean, in hitting you.
And that's wrong.
That's wrong.
Why? What?
Because he has no right to inflict physical damage on a man just because someone called him a sand N-word.
And we had gone over to Egypt, my wife and I both on a tour of the Mediterranean. I went down into a couple of the gift shops in a hotel. And I wanted to say, you know, because at this time, about 6 months after 9/11, I wanted to just say all of you sand N-word, and I couldn't do it.
I'll tell you right now, I think you're asking for trouble. I think you're asking for death. Walking into a gift shop in a hotel in Egypt and saying, all of you sand N-word.
Are you speaking with me?
I'm speaking to both of you gentlemen. Isn't that asking for death?
Look at Mr. Henry. A man has the right to express how he feels. If you don't want American rage, then the media has to stop jamming these beheadings and these naked prisoners down our throat. That includes you, Mr. Henry. You talk about the naked Iraqis all the time. You're part of the problem.
And you're saying me talking about naked Iraqis is fueling American rage?
Absolutely. Because they...
Well, it's a prison abuse that people have to...
Oh, Jesus, there you go.
You know, Mr. Henry, you talk about these naked Iraqis only makes me want to call them scum-sucking...
Are you all right?
I can't even use the words.
So me talking about naked Iraqis makes you angry with me and angry with them. Why?
Because, big deal, they're nude. We had a guy get his head sawed off like somebody was sizing up a piece of 2x4 for a garage. And I think, to my way of thinking, if you can't look at those guys and say they're a pack of sand-sucking ragheads, then I think there's something wrong.
Absolutely. That's what we are basically talking about.
How is the lawsuit going?
Well, we have countersued, and we have countersued in Superior Court in Los Angeles County. And we have basically told Mr. Donatai and his attorney that we would settle. And that would be that he would lose his employment at...
Why is the guy getting fired? He didn't do anything.
Because his presence in that store pisses off my client. I mean, that's...
You don't fire a guy because the guy just happens... You don't happen to dig him because he's giving you American rage. He was hired in the first place.
Look, we are settling. We are offering a settlement. He loses his job. We will pay him a month's severance. But he is no longer working there.
And I don't even have these thoughts about yelling raghead until you talked about these things on your show. And those dirty, stinking...
All right, 1-800-449-8686. By the way, they're at a batting cage. Did you hear that? I'm told that Mr. Wireman took his client to a batting cage so he could get his frustration out by hitting a few... What is the word that he used to you, Chris? A few high, hard ones? 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back with your phone calls in a moment.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Relocating the edge and jumping over. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, I thank people for holding on. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. We'll get to their phone calls, but I just want to be clear, Mr. Green. You want to be able to walk up to an African-American, walk up to a Muslim, call him raghead, call him the N-word, but you don't mean anything hateful by it.
No, sir, I do not.
If I could jump in, Phil, I just want to, my client would simply like to walk up to an African-American man and say, it would do me a world of good if I could just call you a, and then use the N-word. And hopefully, black people listening will understand that it's just blowing off some steam.
That's all I want to do.
You want to walk up to a Muslim and say, it'll really help me if you'll just let me call you raghead?
Yes, sir.
American rage, Mr. Henry, is... And I don't carry an Army-issue rifle. I don't get to be over in Iraq hunting these scumbags down, and neither does my client. My client owns a grocery store, but he has just as much rage in him as those soldiers, and as a taxpaying American citizen, he has the right to fight the war in his way. And if that means calling his produce manager a mother-loving Singapore export raghead mother...
Both of you guys are angry.
No, sir, I'm not.
Well, it sounds to me like both of you are angry. 1-800-449-8686. Dalio, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Harvey Weierman and Bob Green.
Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay, you want to take away the frustration of the world, right? You want to get out anger and all that?
Well, it's American rage is...
How does American rage figure into calling a black man a name?
Man, I'm telling you this, the more that you call
that's a different thing.
The racial comments, the more anger you're going to add to the world.
Well, that word,
can we keep that word?
That's a word I can use freely all day long.
Let's keep that word off of you. Hey, Dalio, you can't use it on my show. You understand? Hello? He hung up.
Yeah, of course he hung up, because he's black and he wants to be able to say that, but he won't let a white guy say it.
Well, there's a certain mentality among African Americans that they want to be able to use the word. I don't want anybody using it on my show. 1-800-449.
Well, how come you let him use it?
We dumped it.
Well, I heard it.
No, but my engineer dumped it. It did not go over the air.
Well, I'm.
How can we be sure?
It doesn't make any difference. It didn't go out over the air. I'm not going to let.
Because I heard him. He said N-word. But if I say it, then everybody's going to kick my ass, and I don't know.
We're just trying to have the freedom to say, hey, raghead, and that's it.
And then you just go your merry way.
Then I'll just walk right on.
Here is Kimberly on the Phil Henry Show. Kimberly, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bob Green and Harvey Weierman.
Okay. Listen, we can't go and just...
Here's a real winner.
Go up to somebody and call somebody a name just because we feel like it. How would I like it if somebody come up to me and called me a name?
I think you should. What you should do is say, well, that person's letting off some steam. So you won't have, like, suppose a Mexican called you a name. You would say they're just blowing off steam. Otherwise, they're going to have Mexican rage.
I surely wouldn't. I would be like,
why?
Look,
why?
You can't just come up to me and say that because I didn't do nothing
to
you.
Well, why don't you just let them blow it off? Because
all right, let me see if I get this clearly. You guys say that just by not being allowed to use these words, it's fueling a certain rage in Americans. And if we were to allow Americans to use these words, we wouldn't have American rage.
That's right. Like this lady here, Kimberly, if you just walk up to a... Like, for instance, you're angry at Arabs, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm not angry at Arabs.
You're choking on it. You can't even admit to it.
I'm not angry at Arabs.
Well, you know, see, she can't be honest.
Well, she says she's not angry.
Well, she's... I don't believe her.
Neither do I.
Why not? I mean, Arabs didn't
do
nothing to me.
Don't you want to just walk up to one of them and go, you towel-wrapping...
No.
Well, this is very unusual. I find millions of Americans have...
Well, millions of Americans have American rage. This lady doesn't have it. Not everybody has the disease, do they?
Yes, but I mean, think of a family of four sitting around the dinner table laughing and sharing their stories of the day. And then think of the father, full of American rage. He comes home and shoots every last one of them dead on the spot. And you know why? Just because a man can't call another man a mother-loving, raghead mother.
Even my attorney's angry about it.
All right, so now you're saying that murder, serial murder, and this kind of thing is caused by American rage.
I think so. I think it sounds pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good theory.
All right, Kimberly, thank you.
Yes.
1-800-449-8686. Now, I guess your suit goes to trial in...
We've got to find a way to defuse this anger, Mr. Henry.
All right, that's fine. Your suit goes to trial in about 3 weeks, in which case you're going to offer... You've offered to settle. You'll fire the guy. He gets a month's severance. How long has he been working there?
About 4 years.
4 years, and the guy's going to get a month's severance.
You got a week a year.
This hasn't anything to do with the fact that he's a Muslim, does it?
Maybe.
Well, then that's against the law.
Everything's against the law.
Phil, you've got a point. Yes, of course it's not right. But Mr. Green has every right to say, I don't want to pay this guy because he's a stinking...
Can't you? You're his attorney.
It's making me angry.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Chester, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I just want to say to this gentleman who's on the air, I'm a black man myself, calling from Orange County, and everything I'm hearing from you is just straight, absolute ignorance. For you to think that you have the audacity to be able to call someone a rag and call someone names because of what a group of individuals did is absolutely insane. David Koresh back in Waco, Texas, there's no reason for us to sit around and say that all white people are absolutely insane because that's what you're doing.
The people who did this to David,
there's no reason. How do you feel you can call someone a raghead when the majority of the people out there that are wearing towels in their heads are doing it for religious purposes?
On
they're doing it because that's
American,
right.
I got American.
Just because
rage.
You were born in the United States gives you no right to tell someone else they're wrong because they were born over there.
Chester, can I jump in? This is the attorney Harvey Wyman. Chester, I want to just say to you, you sound like an intelligent young man, but you are making a mistake. You're fueling Mr. Green's rage right now. He has American rage toward these towel wrappers.
Could we, gentlemen, please?
See, there you go. You won't let me say towel wrapper. You won't let me say raghead. You won't let me say anything.
I'm absolutely enraged because the reason I'm enraged right now, I'm absolutely upset because
we fight
long and hard for equal rights in America. And for you to be an American and actually feel like you can run around and actually call someone else names is 100% ignorant.
It's called freedom of speech, sir. And you
freedom
should be allowed to categorize people
I know exactly
in the way that you want.
You as an attorney should respect everyone's individual rights.
There's nothing wrong with calling a man a raghead. It's not hateful.
There's nothing wrong with this. What can we call you?
I've been called many things, sir, and I certainly don't sue people for I've
so
been called
take,
a
mob. You don't take offense, sir?
I'm an attorney. How many things have you called attorneys over the years? Should I sue
I've
you?
Never called an attorney one thing. I don't make a living.
Sir,
I'm calling people.
Now, sir, one of the reasons,
you're not a very intelligent
well, excuse me,
like
one of the reasons why I've always respected African-Americans is they're very truthful people. You, on the
okay,
other
so
hand,
you're
are
respecting,
lying.
So you're respecting African-Americans, but you want to call someone a sand N-word,
right? I don't respect you because you're lying.
Why call them a sand N-word? Why can't you use another word to call them?
You probably called me, my profession, many names, but you just lied about it. Now,
wait a minute. You can't say the man lied about it. He says he's never called attorneys a name.
Oh, give me a break. This sounds like the kind of guy that sues everybody just for winking at him the wrong way.
Winking at him the wrong way. That's a good one. That's good. I can tell what kind of guy you are. You're one of the very smart and intelligent guys.
You
sound like a lightweight. You're one of the ones that would go and defend a guy who kills his wife and his wife's newborn kid.
Yeah,
the kind of guy you are.
Are you saying that a man has the right to go in and shoot his wife and kids because he can't express his American rage?
Well, I mean, can I answer that?
Yeah, I can, because this guy's pissed.
Hey, Chester, just because you're a scaredy cat doesn't mean the rest of us have to be.
A scaredy cat?
Yeah, that's what you sound like to me.
Let me tell you something. I played football at the University of Arizona. I played against Pat Tillman. I know Pat Tillman very well. You think I'm not enraged by what's going on over there? I'm enraged about all the different things that are going on in every part of the world that we're involved in.
Yeah,
I feel complete sympathy for our soldiers, for our family, but I feel like as Americans, we're in the wrong as well. We're not doing everything 100% correct. We're not.
How would you like it if I came
people,
up to you?
Just because we have
Chester,
just because we can cover it up better. Can
right,
I please
hold on,
talk
hold on.
For a second?
Hold on, gentlemen. There's a lot of talking going on over each other, and I just wanted to make sure everyone's being heard here. And
well, Mr. Henry, you're making me angry because you sound so even-tempered. Why don't you get angry?
I beg your pardon?
Why don't you get angry?
Because he's a man of integrity.
I'm
he doesn't
trying,
have to,
no,
angry
I'm
to get his point
I'm trying to moderate this discussion.
Well, you sound too... there's too much equal. Why don't you get pissed off for once in your life, Mr. Henry? At least I respect Chester here, even though he's a liar, because he's...
A liar?
Yeah, you're a liar.
I'm a liar. You're making a very bold assumption, Mr. Attorney.
You know what I'd like
to... intelligent. I'm a liar,
Chester,
but you're...
How would you like it if I walked up to you, Chester, and I said, Chester, the molester, you would like that, would you?
I would not like it one bit.
It helps me unburden myself.
Unburden yourself? That's different from calling a guy... Now you're accusing the guy of being a child molester.
Okay, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this.
Manager.
Hold on.
Mr. Wine and Attorney. Mr. Sure. Attorney.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you one question.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Okay, since you have such a problem with people that wear towels in their heads, why don't you go jump in a plane and go volunteer for the United States Army and go over there and fight somebody there? Why don't you go do that? Why don't you go find somebody up there? Why don't you put a gun in your hand and go over there and see if you can go over there and take care of these so-called
towelheads? May I answer that question? May I answer that question?
Sure. Sure, please.
I fought for this country in the North Pacific with the United States Marines in World War II, Chester the Molester, so I know all of...
All right. Let's grow up.
This guy's trying to say I never picked up a gun. I fought the Japanese on Saipan.
I said, why don't you go do it?
I fought the Japanese on Saipan, and now I'm having a hard time breathing.
Because you're insane. You're absolutely insane. And you don't even have a point. You can't even discuss this one because you have no point. You have no relevance, no intelligence. You sound like an idiot, huh?
I'm having a hard time breathing because you're pissing me off.
I hope I'll piss you off because what you're talking about right now is the exact problem with this country right now. There's a lot of people out there that are stupid. They have no intelligence, just like you.
They're
in high positions, you know, quote unquote, right, attorney.
Okay.
That's a good position to have in today's society.
But you don't even bring dignity
to your position.
I fought the Japanese on Saipan. I put a bayonet right through a Jap's face who talked to me the way you did. He said, "Are you going to be attorney someday?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, you stinking." And I put a bayonet right through his face.
And you're very proud of that, too. And I bet you sleep well at night, too, knowing that you killed another man.
No Japanese guy makes fun of what I do for a living.
He makes fun of you
when
you kill him, right?
I thought the guy was a soldier.
Well, that, too.
All right.
This is Bob Green. This produce manager, he got the head cashier pregnant, and that was after the beheading started. So what's that about?
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
Why is he getting a girl pregnant after everybody's pissed off about a guy getting his head sawed off? He should have laid low.
Maybe he was laying low. That's just a joke, Chester. You know,
I'll get out of here, both of you clowns. Chester, thank you for your call.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Henry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Henry.
Thank you.
I'd like to...
Get out of here! 1-800-449-8686. It's Phil Henry Show here, and, what do we have here? Harold? Go ahead. Oh, Harold's gone. All right. We'll take a break. It's the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. I want to be a black youth leader. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Coming up on our show tonight, something happened here locally as the result of something that we did on our show last night. Now, I'll play a snippet of what we did on our show last night, and I'll tell you what I believe to be and what others believe to be the end result of what we did, because I just received a phone call today. And keep in mind that I completely reject, this is just me, I completely reject any responsibility for the actions of listeners based upon what we do on our show. I totally reject it, and no one is ever going to talk me into believing that I need to be responsible for my audience. Let me simply say to you, I'll quote the great Rod Serling when he said, "I'm responsible to my audience, but I am not responsible for them." And he was quoted right after, anybody remember D.B. Cooper? D.B. Cooper is sort of a legendary individual. In the early 1970s, an individual who identified himself as D.B. Cooper hijacked an American commercial jetliner, had it land at an airport, and demanded that a certain amount of money be put aboard the aircraft. The plane then took off. I believe at that point he'd let the passengers go, and it was just now him and the crew. He disappeared from the cockpit somewhere over the Northwest, and it is believed parachuted out of this aircraft with this money and has not been seen or heard from since. Now, in the years since D.B. Cooper's disappearance, Americans loving a good story, Americans believing that nobody really dies if we can't really prove they died, like Jim Morrison is someplace playing cards with Hitler right now. So we think, you know, D.B. Cooper may be getting them both a drink. Morrison and Hitler just called for beers, and D.B. went into the kitchen to get them. I personally think the man died after he jumped. I mean, a jet craft is traveling at a fairly decent rate of speed, and I don't know that Mr. Cooper took all of this into consideration. They did find the money scattered over a wide area in a forest in the Northwest, so that also lends some substance to the belief that he probably is dead. But that was based upon, or at least some people thought it was based upon, a story that was written by Rod Serling about a guy that hijacks an airplane and jumps out of it with a lot of money. But I don't even play that, and I don't even go there, and I just got to tell you, my philosophy is straight up. This radio show is a show that we're very proud of, because what we do on this show is a type of satire. It's not humor. It's not general purpose humor like Jay Leno or David Letterman. It's specific, focused satire on American society. I demand a high level of understanding from my audience. I will not expect anything less, and if you do not understand what you're listening to and you don't like it, then you can bug off and we'll all be friends. That's just all there is to it. But I will not in any way, shape, or form embrace any notion that when I do something on the radio, because I'm very responsible with the material we put out on the air, that I'm somehow responsible for the actions of some idiot listening to my show. Now, you can play that with somebody else. They may feel guilty over at another talk station. You may play that with some other TV station. I don't know who the guys are that feel all guilty when somebody acts as the result of something that they did. I'm a responsible broadcaster. Now, let's take, for example, those two imbeciles up in Portland, those two amateurs that did that whole music thing under Nick Berg being beheaded, right? How come that program director still has a job? How come that general manager still has a job? Those are the people that I hold responsible. Right? I'm not going to say the audience, if they went out and thought it was really funny that a cat gets his head cut off, is because that those two jackasses in Portland did that bit. I'm not that stupid. I mean, if people are that insensitive, they were that way a long time before they listened to those two morons. Now, they got canned, but I don't know why that PD up there still got a gig. Anybody want to explain that one to me? We on live in Portland tonight? Yeah, I think we are. And how come that general manager still got a job? You guys are all ready to wait in line for the handouts when those guys do good. Why don't you guys take some of the heat when they do bad? Those are the guys that ought to get fired. Anyway, I'm going to, we'll play the flashback from last night's show, and I'll tell you what happened. It's coming up on the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will continue after these very, very brief, probably only take just a couple of seconds, messages.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, last night on our show, we had on Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. And Ted was talking to us about his son being a senior in high school and wanting to perform what is called the senior prank. Very traditional in America, seniors get together, they go back to their campus, and they do things like put a jock strap on the school mascot. They put a funny-looking hat on one of the statues. They glue the doors shut. They TP the president's office or the headmaster's office or the principal's office, something that is essentially harmless and makes a statement of spoof and folly at the expense of the school. Now, Ted's bit was he was listening to his son talking about this. He decided, hey, man, why don't you do what we did when we were kids? We went and we spray-painted swastikas. And I said, what in the hell, Ted? And he said, oh, that's cool. What the kids wanted to do was spray-paint something having to do with Muslims, like Allah is great. But he didn't want them to do that because we're at war with an Arab country or Arab insurgents, and he thought that would just make things worse. So he said, how about doing swastikas? I said, well, that's a hateful sign. He said, it hasn't been hateful for 60 years, man. That's old school. So he encouraged his son to do this, and his son did it. He got arrested for vandalism, and the point of the whole bit was the obvious irresponsibility of a lot of parents. You talk about kids that vandalize. All you got to do, as we've often said on this show, is search no further than the two imbeciles that have put that person on the planet. So that's the bit. Listen to it, and then I will tell you what happened, and you'll probably be able to guess, because there was an event last night here in the Los Angeles area having to do with the Ted bit, and you can probably guess what it was. Here then, Ted Bell from last night's show.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
This gentleman, now, I don't know what his name is.
My name's
and
Ted
I
Bell.
Really don't care to know what this gentleman's name is.
I'm Ted Bell.
His son deserves to be punished the fullest extent of the law. He deserves no special favors any way, shape, or form. I live in this state. I am totally ashamed to even have you be in the same state that I live in.
You're totally getting it wrong. My son is not a racist.
How you can even insinuate and imply that the Beverly Hills Police Department owes you or your son anything is beyond me. You don't deserve anything. You are an absolute moron.
Let me jump in here.
A moron. And I am not going to let you say anything.
This is Phil Henry. I'm the host of the show.
Well, she doesn't know the difference between your voice and mine.
No, I'm the host. Hold on. I'm the host. I'm the host talking.
I'm sorry.
Hold on. It's okay.
She thinks you sound just like me.
I am so upset.
All right. She's upset. Hold on, Laura. I want to say this. Ted, do you agree that your son, by spray painting swastikas, it could have been read by a lot of people as a very hateful thing?
A lot of nervous people might take it that way, yeah.
A lot of nervous people.
A lot of you are nervous now. A lot of the older people, like this lady, senior citizens. But what I'm trying to say is this.
I am not a senior citizen, sir. I am not a senior citizen. I'm probably a hell of a lot younger than you are.
All right, Laura, hold
the
line.
But you know what? I have
Phil
a
Henry.
Lot more brains than you
right,
do.
Right, Laura, hold on. We're
going
to take a break, but I want you to hold on because you've got a lot to say.
Oh, boy.
Will you hold on?
Yes, I will.
All right, Laura, hold the line, and we'll be right back here on the Phil Henry Show. We clear? Get Ted on the line, please. Ted?
Yeah, Bill.
I want you to have a little more respect for my callers.
Well, this old bag that you got on right now.
But what I'm asking you to do, how much time, 30 seconds?
We're going to close early tonight, Candy. The old bag that you got on right now is...
The lady is not an... first of all,
come
she's
back,
trying
Bill.
To make a... We got to come back, okay?
Well, but get rid of her. Let's get some young... I think what you need to do on your program is get some young chicks, not some old bag.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Go ahead, Laura. You're back on.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm not an old bag. In fact,
who said
I'm
you're
probably
an old bag?
A lot younger than this gentleman, and I can at least give him some respect.
Who called you an old bag?
Wait, what's his name again? Let's see, they only said it 600 times. Mr. Ted Bao.
Well,
you know what? I hope that a lot of people
Ted
in California will be listening to this and not even visit his steakhouse, because everyone that I know, and I live on the Central Coast,
Laura,
no
well, you're not going to be getting down to Beverly Hills anytime soon, and I can tell you this, once you slip a piece of Ted's of Beverly Hills
juicy
steak
I'll never slip anything
in between your lips.
No, never. Never will I eat at your restaurant. You know, we're losing the point here. Because,
right, and the point is that I'm Ted Bell,
committed
and that I was going to give some bulletproof, and I may still give bulletproof vests,
your son
but I'm getting pissed off.
Yes, your son
committed
a crime.
You do
you
not deserve any special favors whatsoever,
well, Laura,
because your son committed a crime.
Now, you live on the Central Coast. What you guys got up there for a steakhouse?
You know what?
What are we talking about? Outback? I'm talking about some of the juiciest meat.
It doesn't have anything to do with this. Your son committed a crime.
Very
your
good point. And, Ted, you need to teach this kid.
The fullest
she doesn't. She thinks it's me talking, not you.
He doesn't deserve any favors.
All right, Laura, thank you. I would say, Ted, that you need to get that boy under control.
Well, what if I can get Beverly Hills to drop the charge because I'm Ted Bell?
Well, then good for you.
All right, I'll try that first, then I'll try being a father second. How about that?
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
There you go. I'll try that first. In other words, I'll try using my influence with the Beverly Hills PD to impress my son and my friends and neighbors. Then I'll try being a father second. Now, I think that's a pretty clear statement of what that bit was about. Last night, an area school was hit with a swastika vandalism. Somebody spray-painted swastikas. And I am led to believe it was the result of this show. Well, I reject that. I do understand that some stupid kid was listening to my show and decided that he wanted to act out. for whatever reason, and he would use some inspiration drawn from this program. Let me tell you something, kid. Wherever you are, why don't you go to bed earlier at night, okay? Get your sleep, eat your oatmeal, and don't bother me. I don't think anybody... I've always said that we're safe when we just say nobody under the age of 18 ought to listen to this program. Well, you know, Phil, you don't do a lot of sexual content. I mean, what's wrong with your show? Well, our show is a lot more dangerous than any of these programs like Dopey and Anthony or Jackass and Tiny or, Smith and Barney or whoever the hell is doing these shows. We ain't doing sexual content. We do satire, the definition of which is irony, sarcasm, caustic wit used to attack or expose vice or stupidity within a society. That's what we do. And for somebody to go out and spray paint swastikas because they heard Ted Bell, a character, talking like an idiot about his son doing it because it might be a really cool prank. And what we're doing is we're holding up a slice of society. We say, take a look at this. This is a father? Yeah, it's pretty sad, but it's all over the place. And believe me when I tell you this, whatever kid that did that at that school, I can tell you right now, they probably have he probably has some fairly wealthy parents. Let me just put it that way. Which doesn't necessarily mean they're good parents, but it does mean at least they have the means to spend a little time with their kid and figure out what's right from wrong, all right? I'm going to keep an eye on this stuff. We do a bit on our show called Life Imitates Phil. And the reason why we do the bit is I notice how life does imitate this show often. But never so dramatically and never so immediately as what happened last night within minutes after we did this bit with Ted Bell. I keep an eye on these things because I want to know what's going on out there in the world. And I have to be on guard if somebody's going to say, aha, the media once again influencing young people to do bad things. Because I will not accept, I reject that. I'm not like a lot of guys in this business who are ready to do the mea culpa on that. Not, no way, uh-uh. Homie, don't play that, man. Homie clown, don't play that. No, this is one guy who is going to stand up for what he does, and I stand up for my business, and I'm not going to sit there on my knees. Is that what I was going to say? I'm not going to kneel there on my ass. I don't know, what am I trying to say? I'm not going to sit there and take the broad sweeping, broad brush description of this business as being dangerous because it does certain things and influences kids to act a certain way. There's only one way that kids are influenced to behave, and that is through the teaching of their, or lack thereof, of their parents. Parents, man. Moms and dads and moms. Those are the ones that are responsible for it all. The good and the bad. The good and the bad. It's a tough one, but that's why I'm here. I'm Dr. Laura. Now go out and make it a so-so day. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, I was just talking with my very good friend, Mr. Pelton, about, we were talking about kids, and of course his mind immediately went to Caneo Valley days and getting on rides. We're talking about raising kids, and immediately Chris goes to, yeah, did you go over and ride on that octopus they had over at Caneo Valley days? And I say, yeah, what happened? He says, I wanted to vomit when I got off. I go, of course, man, we're getting old, dude. We just realized we're getting too old to get on rides. My kids like that reverse Ferris wheel, the one that the bucket spins, and I get off that thing and I'm ready to chirp up all kinds of meals. A full buffet of meal, I'm ready to just chirp it. Oh, man, what happened? What happened to the days when you could just do, you could do the corkscrew down at Knott's? You could do everything they wanted to throw at you at Six Flags? You were ready for it all, and now you walk out of there holding a paper towel to the back of your pants. 1-800-449-8686, yeah! And our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. Coming up tonight, how to read a news story. Oh my God, have we got some news that I've got to educate you guys on how to read this, because it's they're trying to slip a few more fastballs by you. Also, our mailbag, we'll check in to our email and see what we come up with as missives from you guys tonight on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up, a mailbag. See what you guys have got on your mind. We got another flashback from last night's show. You should have heard this one. Don Parsley was on saying that he was beaten by American soldiers, too, and that he was violated, shall we say, with a pogo stick. He told every tale just so he could try to get some money out of people because he said he was homeless living in a forest. And we could even hear crickets and a campfire in the background, and he couldn't feed his two. First, they were daughters, then they were sons. Was his wife dead? Was she alive? No, she was dead, and she was alive, and it was his mother who was dead, not his mother who was alive, and on. So we'll play that one for you. Time now, though, for how to read a news story, a public service on this program. Why do we do this? Because the way news stories are written, they are actively trying to influence your point of view on that story. They're not trying to give you the news anymore. Why? It's a very, very simple explanation. With the competition from the internet, the news has to be more interesting. And the way to make news more interesting is to get your blood pressure up. And the way to get your blood pressure up is to draw conclusions. Not just report the news, but draw conclusions. In other words, editorialize, right? All of it designed to skew your point of view in a certain direction. So I read the news story, and I'll show you places where you may get sidetracked into believing that you're reading an objective report. All right. ABC News has obtained two new photos taken at the Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq showing Specialist Charles Grainer and Specialist Sabrina Harmon posing over the body of a detainee who was allegedly beaten to death by CIA or civilian interrogators in the prison's showers. The detainee's name was Manadel Al-Jamadi. All right, right there. Allegedly beaten to death in the showers, which means that's what they heard somebody say. No proof. And by God, you sure do go by that word allegedly fast when you see the word beaten and the word death. So you immediately go, God, the guy was beaten. No, nobody's saying he was beaten. They're saying that that's the accusation. Keep in mind, folks, there's still, and we're on day 403, there still is no proof of any murder, any rape, or any sodomy taking place in this prison. No proof at all. None. It's pretty heavy if you think about it. I mean, the reason why I say that is, that's the reason why everyone was getting wrapped up and twisted around in the first place. It wasn't so much the guys were in dog collars naked. I mean, for anybody to get really crazy about that, especially after seeing the murder of Nick Berg, you got to be some kind of a bleeding heart that, a new mutation of bleeding heart. I mean, seriously. But we're still waiting around for the proof of this horrific, quote, murdering that took place. There hasn't been any proof at all. We got photographs of things. And what we're finding out is the CIA was taking these photographs to influence others in the interrogation of other people. Remember, the CIA took over the prison, and they melted back into the darkness, leaving behind them a lot of soldiers who are taking the rap for them. Is that bad? No. Right after 9/11, we heard expert after expert after expert tell us that our intelligence gathering was faulty. We've seen nothing but testimony saying that the intelligence gathering and the intelligence provided the President of the United States was the worst. And we heard reasons for that. Some of the reasons given had to do with the fact that we had no on-the-ground good intelligence gathering. We didn't have any deep cover agents. We didn't have any spooks working down there on the ground, working with some people to try to gain information. The reason why we didn't have that was because we didn't want to do business with nasty people. You know, Carter got rid of that. I'm not blaming President Carter. Post-Vietnam, we didn't want the CIA committing assassinations. We wanted them to be squeaky clean, man. We wanted them to be like, I don't know who, Maxwell Smart or something. We wanted it to be the man from Uncle. We wanted it to be something that just doesn't exist. And the CIA, we were quickly told, needed to be allowed to get in there and do business the way they used to do business. Get in there and get nasty if you have to. And we said, yes, good. If it'll prevent a 9/11, yes. Get back in there and get nasty. Well, sports fans, here it is. They're getting nasty. And still, there's no proof of any murder having been committed. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? In other words, since these were not prisoners of war, covered under the Geneva Convention because they were not uniformed. They were detainees, enemy combatants, and the like. They are entitled to no protection under the Geneva Convention. The military does have a code of conduct pursuant to treating prisoners, but sleep deprivation is allowed by the Geneva Convention. Stripping people naked may be allowed. Beating a guy up, maybe that's not allowed, but then again, we're talking about the CIA here. And let's keep one other thing in mind that everybody wants to forget. Are we talking about Cub Scouts here? I mean, these Iraqis, yeah, sure. They are not charged with any crime. No guy was put on trial. We don't exactly have the Miranda rights going on over there, man. And nobody's in a holding cell waiting for their attorney to come and freaking bail them out, you know? This is an active combat area. And a lot of these scumbags are exactly that, scumbags. They are enemy combatants. They were guys who had RPGs on them, who had rifles on them, who had weapons on them, who were taking shots at people. You'd think that listening to the American public, we're talking about, a lot of former school teachers and cats that were teaching calisthenics in the town square. Maybe even the Sunday priest. Probably the guy that sells balloons in the park. I mean, they're just the most innocent people, and we beat them to death. Yeah, really? How exactly do we know? Well, we don't. But one thing we know for sure is that these are allegations, nothing proved yet. And even today, with this story from ABC News, which is not what I would call the paragon of, like, professionalism when it comes to news, even these cats don't have any proof. They just got big headlines they know how to write. According to testimony from specialist Jason Kenner, obtained by this news-gathering organization, the man was brought to the prison by U.S. Navy SEALs in good health, according to him. Kenner said he saw extensive bruising on the detainee's body when he's brought out of the showers, dead. Now, keep in mind, sports fans, this kid Kenner may have cut a deal with the military prosecutors. You give us a little juice, we're going to go easy on you. What, do you think this guy's going to tell him, you know, anything that's going to implicate him? Kenner says the body was packed in ice during a battle between CIA and military interrogators over who should dispose of the body. The photos were taken by Staff Sergeant Ivan Frederick, who in emails to his family has asked why the people responsible for the prisoner's death were not being prosecuted in the same manner that he is. But he still doesn't know who was responsible for this guy's death. As a matter of fact, the guy might have been dead when he was brought in. The guy might have tried to escape. The guy might have brought this death upon himself by his actions against his interrogators. We don't know. Why don't we know? Because we're not told. And why aren't we told? Because ABC News, in doing battle with the Internet and all the other more professional news gathering organizations, can't afford to be accurate. They can't afford to do that. They just need to get people reading their boring news stories.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Next fall, so in other words, it's bad. I have no answers. I'm sorry, but that's the way things have been going lately. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Just a quick note about American Idol and their voting. Hey, I got a little kind of a concept for you, and a lot of you cats that write these stories. Who is this? Joel Ryan with the Jackass News Service, I don't know what it's called. She says, hey, there's something fishy about the way they're voting for these cats on American Idol. Well, no kidding, man. It's over the phone. Yeah, what's wrong with that? If that was a good way of voting for people, why don't we do it for president? There's something fishy about it. If voting for people over the telephone was somehow an accurate reading of how people felt, for God's sake, it would be the easiest thing in the world for us to do that when we vote for the freaking president of the freaking ding-dang United States. We don't do it, do we? There's a couple of reasons. Not everybody has a phone, believe it or not. Even in this day and age, not everyone has a phone. Some people do not have access to a telephone. Number two, how do you keep people from voting twice? And number three, how do you keep people from voting twice? Okay, all three of those. Now, there's three finalists, all of them female, one white, one black, and one Chinese. You don't think for a minute that has anything to do with just the luck of the draw with the votes, do you?
What do you mean?
What do you mean? But I'm trying to do a topic here, and if I'm talking to the audience, I don't know why you want me to talk directly to you.
No, but what do you mean? The people voted for him.
But there's one that's white, there's one that's black, there's one that's Chinese. Doesn't that seem too perfect?
It means that people wanted to see Chinese people and black and white people.
No, it doesn't. It means the cats down at Fox had those people on. They manipulated the voting.
What do you mean, manipulated?
I didn't say manipulated, did I? You just said that because you wanted to say that word. Manipulated. And they do that for programming purposes. They want to present an egalitarian Final Three, in which case they appeal to everybody.
Is egalitarian like growing vegetables?
All right, why don't you go ahead and leave now?
Oh, okay, so I asked a stupid question.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, man. The Secretary of Egalitarian. It's growing vegetables. Jackass. They got one white chick, one black girl, one Chinese chick, and guess what? That's perfect. The audience is going to dig it. There's no guys because maybe they, I'll tell you why there's no guys finalists. You want to know why? Because their male numbers were slipping. In other words, the ratings among men were slipping. And somebody over at Fox said, we got to get our young men watching again. Because, we saw the ratings decline for young men. I know, let's have an all-female final deal. So that's what they did. And let's have one a white girl, one a black girl, one an Asian chick, and that'll kind of appeal to everybody. Kind of leaves out our Latina women. But you know what? I mean, we've had plenty of those in the past, and it leaves out anybody who may be into the Malaysian or Indian thing, the subcontinental thing. I don't know. But white, and there's no Native American. But some guy at the network probably said, "Yeah, but some people may think the Chinese woman looks like an Indian." So, yeah, it's very good, JB. Good. All these guys get together over there at the network. They got their little cup of Starbucks. They got their starched shirts. They got their legs folded, and they're all, well, okay, so what are we doing this week on American Idol, huh? I got a Chinese woman, I got a black woman, a white woman. How come? Well, we're missing out on the guys are not watching the show. Got to get more of these guys watching the show. I say we have all broads, three broads. Boom, 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 three broads. Good idea. All right, next. What happened to that hayseed, man? Is he still around? That Clay Aiken? Yeah, he keeps bugging us out at the parking lot. It's a pass on to the lot. Will you get him out of here already with that Aiken? Pain in the ass. What do we do, man? Give him some tickets to a movie premiere. Get him out of here. Now, what about the fat black guy? Yeah, that stutter, man. He wants to see if we can extend the deal, that record deal. I got nothing to do with him, man. Jesus, every time that guy comes in here, he sweats all over me. I don't want him in here either. All right, is that it? Yes, Mrs. Berman. Okay, you can all leave now. See, voting on the telephone, like I told you the other day, is the dumbest way to get anybody's opinion about anything, sports fans. They don't want your opinion. They want you to think they want your opinion. Don't you understand? Don't you hear what I'm saying? Hey, by the way, and this is something you can take to the bank, I want you to hear this. Reality television has never been less real. Just as soon as they said that they were giving you reality television, it ain't reality. It's not even approaching reality. The more reality TV we get, man, the less real television is. Because now it's even worse. Now you got amateurs who are playing to the camera. Before, if you were looking at a really bad sitcom, at least the guy was a professional actor who could sort of wing it with the bad writing. Now you've got these amateurs who the camera's stuck right up their rear ends, and they know they're on camera, so they're like kind of faking their emotion. They're faking the drama. As a result, you have less reality on TV today than ever before in the history of the human race. Because even an actor, a good actor, can bring some real emotion to something. But just an amateur, Susie Q and Bobby Pops, who used to be sucking ice cream cones down at the corner, and now they're on Succulent Island, or they're on Lovetron American Style, or whatever the hell the new show is called. Graphic Sex Island, and they're there, and they're just, I don't know, I'm really upset with the way you talked to me yesterday morning. What are we talking about? Well, you just were rude. Oh, screw you. And, you're just like you're eavesdropping in on two utter imbeciles. Bad acting utter imbeciles. Right? And then along comes American Idol, of course, and you decide. How many of you cats really think you're deciding anything having to do with American Idol? probably when I asked the question, everybody didn't want to look stupid. Y'all go, no, I know, it's all rigged. I'm not saying it's rigged, man. I'm saying that it is programming. That's television programming. There's no law against rigging a contest. If the contestants up front are told that it's rigged, the audience, you don't have to, they don't have to tell you that it's rigged. All they got to do is provide entertainment for you. By the way, you can text message your vote on your Sprint PCS phone. All right. Paula Abdul could give you one good thumb up on this one. American Idol will keep its virtual polls open for 4 hours, twice as long as usual, following next week's decisive battle between the show's two remaining singers, Fox has announced. The network under fire for controversial voting results. Oh, my God. Under fire for controversial voting results. Who are you cats really? You really call yourselves reporters, or is it just a side job, man, when you're not trimming somebody's hedge? Are you kidding? Under fire for controversial voting results. Like they were ever anything other than just staging it. Like there was a time, of course, when the voting was on the up and up, when it was all very honest and fair. And look what we got. Kelly Clarkson. Oh, okay, I see. So when the people were really being listened to, we got Kelly Clarkson. When they're not being listened to, we got, who is it? Diana, Fantasia, and Jasmine. What's the difference? Diana, Fantasia, and Jasmine. Gee, which one's the Chinese girl? Which one's the black girl? Who's white? Diana, Fantasia, and Jasmine. Who named them? I'll tell you who named them. Fox. They probably walked in there, Sally, Susie, and Betty Lou or something like that. And some cat at Fox says, what, are you putting me on or something? I got the Chinese girl. Give her some chink thing. Eddie, come on, let's go.
Oh, yes, Miss Berman. How about,
come on, let's go. Time's money, let's go. Go. Jasmine, yeah, I like it. Good and chink. Good and chink. All right, next. What about the black chick? Come on, some other thing like Sizzaline, Lavoris. Let's go, 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 go. I think Fantasia might work, Miss Berman. Yeah, uh-huh. Got that. And now a white broad, anything, give me it. Come on. Kimberly, Becky. No, I want something more motherly. Diane, got it. Okay, boom, we're done. All right, I got to take lunch for the fourth time. Yeah, Fantasia.
Hello, my name is Fantasia. And I'd like to sing, ooh,
yeah, man. Diane DeGiarmo, Fantasia Barrino, and Jasmine Triage. Ain't that what they do with guys that are, like, with machine gun bullets in them? All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Henry Show, and we'll be back. We have our mailbag tonight. We've got another How to Read a News story. Did you hear about this U.S. so-called strike on a wedding party? Oh, my God. They're really getting desperate now, sports fans. Wait till you hear this story. This will make you laugh out loud. Yeah, that's right. Our guys opened up on a wedding party, and they've got the pictures of the dead children to prove it. Yes, they do. And it was on Arab TV. They got dead kids and the people digging the graves, not... 3 hours after they hit the wedding party, they're digging the graves and they got bodies stacked up. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
In just a second here, we got Don Parsley from last night's show. You gotta hear this to believe it. A man who claimed he was abused by American soldiers in Iraq, came back traumatized, lost his job, was living homeless in the forest, and called our show saying he didn't want charity, he just wanted to feed his children, but... You know, as it turned out, the guy's a lion sack, and we'll hear that call in just a moment. But just as a way of entertaining myself during the off season of pro football, I like to go back through my past issues of Pro Football Weekly and read their predictions. Oh, it's great. So I just went to the one that I cared about the most. Not cared about the most, but the one I could have the most fun with. Here's what they said about the Oakland Raiders going into the 2003 season. The window of opportunity seems open for a while. They have a good mix of youth and veterans. And if Charles Woodson can stay healthy, Charles Woodson sucks. Do you understand that Charles Woodson sucks? Or should I say it one more time? This guy, how many interceptions did this clown have? Forget about 2003. If Charles Woodson could stay healthy and the old guys still produce, the Raiders have a good shot at getting back to the big show. That's their summary for the 2003 season where they had them finishing 10-6. Well, guess what? They finished 4-12. Third place. All right, now, Don Parsley on our show last night. He was abused by American soldiers. He doesn't want charity, but it would be nice if maybe you could send in some money, although nothing smaller than a 20, please.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, hey, I want to call this guy a liar. He's changed what? His story about his wife 3 times in the time he's been talking to you guys.
No, sir.
Yes, you did. First you said she died, that your kid stayed with your mom when he's over there. Did your wife die?
No. They stayed with my mother, okay? That's not my wife. That's my mother.
No. You said that your wife died. That's the reason they kid staying with your mom. And
that's right. My wife's dead.
Now, see, then you said that your wife was terminally ill. Now you're saying that she's dead. You don't know whether she's dead or alive, buddy.
Sir.
I think you're a fraud.
Sir, my wife died.
I think you're a fraud, man.
Sir, my wife died a year ago. Yeah, she was terminally ill before she died.
That ain't what you said, though, you dumb sucker.
Hey, I'm the one who's living in a forest.
I don't believe that either. I think you're fraud.
Ted, can I jump in? This is Phil Henry. What the story that you are telling here, Mr. Parsley, we know you were detained by U.S. troops.
Yes. How can you let this guy call me a liar?
You are a liar, man, because you, like I said, you ain't even telling the truth about your wife.
Okay.
How in the world do you expect me to believe that you're living and all this crap happened to you?
Can you hear the crickets? I'm in a forest right now.
Well, I can hear the crickets. What I want to do is establish, is your wife alive?
No.
Did your children stay with her when you were in Iraq?
No, they stayed with my... I forget who I...
You said they stayed with your mother.
Yes, my mother.
But that ain't what you said. You said that your wife had died.
I said my mother had died. My wife was terminally ill.
If your mother had died, who were the kids staying with?
The kids were staying with my mom. What I'm trying to say is this. I was in Iraq. You got to understand, the communication with America was non-existent. I'm in a jail cell, okay? I'm in a prison.
That's where you need to be, buddy.
Hey, you know what? Okay. Obviously,
You need to be in jail cell. I think the cops need to come pick you up right now because
obviously you're
trying
to
fraud people out of their money.
Obviously, you don't have no kids.
Oh, yeah, dude.
If you had kids, you'd know.
I got kids. I got grandkids, buddy.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
My wife died, yes, but they were staying with her before she died. And well, why'd you say that they were staying with your mother? They also stayed with her, too. So they stayed with your mother and your wife, and then your wife died, and then your mother died. Yeah, they both died. So where were the kids staying then? That was when I got out, and I got back just in time to take care of them. And all the while, this guy wants dough. Please send me some money. Don Parsley from our show last night, all of that material that you hear on our flashbacks and otherwise, I mean, all of the stuff gets on our website and our archives. And in order to hear it and in order to access the deepest archive of radio comedy and satire in radio, you must have a backstage pass. But the good news is it's only $6.95 a month, which we slap it on your wax, baby. We just put it right on a credit card. You never have to think about it. You never have to realize that we are gouging you, that we are sticking our hands right into your soul for a whole $6.95 a month. And it just comes right off the old credit card, and you can go to the website, and you can listen to all of these bits free of charge. No, it's $6.95. Just go to www.philhenryshow.com and get a backstage pass. It's the only way you can hear our audio. It's the only way you can see the video, and we got a lot of it. Both video from, for instance, press interviews that we've done. We had a camera in here. Did we do our 360? Did we do our webcast this year? Did we do a webcast? We did a straight up. We've done 3 consecutive webcasts on, like, just before we go on Christmas vacation, and it's kind of a hoot to watch us just stand here and look stupid doing our show. A lot of people like to see how we do the show, and that's your opportunity. We do it once a year. So all of that is available at our website, www.philhenryshow.com. It's a backstage pass, and there's more on our website, too, that tells you a lot more about our show. We also have a souvenir shop, so head on over there. Coming up, our mailbag and more on The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Show 1-800-449-8686.
You know, we often laugh about Harry Potter books, don't we? Hey, aren't they funny? Harry Potter, oh my God, the kids are consumed with Harry Potter. And how about that J.K. Rowling with all of that bread she's making on all this silly wizard jazz, and the kid is flying around with an owl and all of his friends, and it's a spooky, goofy deal. Yeah? Well, what do you think the Da Vinci Code is? That's just a male version of that. How many of you guys have had it up to here with your friends in that Da Vinci Code? You guys reading that one? Everywhere I go, everywhere I turn, every coffee shop I walk into, every bar room that I fall down in, somebody's there with a Da Vinci Code. And then they want to look at you all serious and say, no, there's real insights into the Catholic faith here. There are definite... It's a lot of hocus-pocus baloney. It's balani. Balagna. You know, look, I'm all for a good read, believe me. But either a book is fiction or it is nonfiction. If it's fiction, it's fiction. That means the guy's making it up. They're giving me this line about the Da Vinci Code with the ancient Mau Mau Society or whatever the hell they're talking about. Some ancient Catholic group of guys that wear hoods and walk with staffs down a dark alley at night and sacrifice cats or something. And the Catholics are all just, they've been going down that road for so long. Catholics this and Catholics that. Catholics are evil, and they've got it in for every Protestant, and they've got a secret society that flays virgins and sacrifices them to the some kind of earth goddess. Goofy stuff, man. Yeah, I know. A lot of people say, hey, well, no, really. I mean, now you can't. Now, what's the society that they talk about in the Da Vinci Code? Chris?
I think it's the Illuminati, Phil.
No. The Illuminati is a whole other thing. There's another one that they talk about in the Da Vinci Code, and it's called... Leonardo da Vinci belonged to it, and such divergent individuals as Leonardo da Vinci and Mo Howard, they all were in this Catholic society, and Mo, I don't even think, was Catholic. Actually, I don't think Da Vinci was Catholic. Mo was. Mo and Curly were, but Larry Fine, I think... Larry was Presbyterian. So... That's what those books are, folks. Whenever you find yourself giggling at J.K. Rowling and her fanciful flights of hallucinatory delight, just remember the Da Vinci Code ain't no different. It's just, it's a book written in such a way it flatters the ego of men who think that they're very intelligent and don't dally in such silly things as Celestine Prophecy and Harry Potter. Because Celestine Prophecy, that's the chick's one. And then, of course, the follow-up, the 10th insight. There were 9, but then, as he was hiking through the Peruvian landscape, he stumbled across a drunk who pointed him to a lavatory that he wanted to use, and in there was the 10th insight scrawled on the latrine wall. And it was there that he found his way. Bah, yeah, fine. And then, of course, we have Angels and Demons, which is the prequel. You know, you always have these people, well, you've read Da Vinci Code, but have you read Angels and Demons? That gives you the kind of the insight into the insight. See, we all have our escapist reading, but you got to understand what it is you're reading. You're not reading anything other than the grown-up version of Harry Bloody Potter. Just imagine the Da Vinci Code with Harry Potter and an owl, and they're flying around with the Illuminati or whatever the hell they're doing, okay? I mean, that's all that that is. Fiction, nonfiction. Nonfiction is an attempt to interpret actual events, history, or at least an attempt to record actual events, history. Fiction is somebody coming up with a long yarn, a shaggy dog, about a man and a dog going into a bar or whatever. That's what Da Vinci Code is. Everywhere I look, here's the Da Vinci Code. It's supposed to kind of bust down all about the Catholic thing. Look, Catholics are messed up. I will give you that. I was raised one. I know. But there's a difference between how screwy they may be in terms of the Pope and just the average guy walking into church in the morning, wanting to go to Mass, wanting to go to communion, and doing his Catholic thing. That's just being a Catholic. Although some Catholics are screwy. Now, last Saturday night, I was sitting with a very Catholic friend of mine who was very earnestly trying to convince me that Islam is evil. And I said, wait a minute, man. I understand evil things are being... No, he says, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say evil things are being done in the name of Islam, just like evil things are done in the name of Christianity, right? Isn't that what you're going to say? I said, well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Well, no, no, no. I am telling you that Islam is evil. It originated as evil, and it continues evil. I got a lot of nutty places to go and interesting people to see when I want to hear goofy opinions. I can talk to my Catholic friends, but they're a little screwy. It doesn't mean the average guy that goes into Mass in the morning and wants to say hello to the priest isn't, you know, a normal guy. This guy, man, I don't want to mention any names, but he's a very high-powered Hollywood personality. But anyway, Mr. Spielberg, and I said, Islam's evil. I mean, how can you, you break down the Quran, I'll show it to you. So there's this, I mean, he spent like hours trying to tell me it's evil, it's bad, it's a bad religion, bad, 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 bad. I said, well, I'm just not going to buy that. I believe that a lot of religions start out very odd. A lot of religions start out very extreme. If you read the early parts of the Bible, it's nuts. I mean, it's crazy. It's violent and it's filled with all kinds of carnal acts. But as man evolved, so his religion evolved. I mean, that to me is what the Bible is. It's the evolution of the human race. It's the evolution of a human. It's what happens to us as people. If you want to get right down to it, once we were just innocent children, then we became aware of ourselves, right? So you could say that's the Garden of Eden. That's when God said you got a soul, and on we moved. I mean, the only way that you're ever going to really find out about yourself and your life is just investigate all of it. But don't take some piece of fiction that some guy was peddling because the guy, you know, he got tired of his job as an insurance executive and decided that he'd start. And this Celestine prophecy, give me a break. That guy, James Redfield, my wife interviewed him. She claims he tried to pick her up. Now, what kind of a spiritual cat is that? What kind of a New Age dude is that? Maria interviewed the guy. She said the guy wanted her phone number. She told him that she was a lesbian. He said, that's fine. So am I. And then he comes up, the Da Vinci, what is it? The Celestine Prophecy. That's the other one. You know, this guy published this thing. And it begins when the unnamed middle-aged male narrator whimsically quits his nondescript life to track down an ancient Peruvian manuscript, pretentiously called The Manuscript, containing 9 insights that supposedly prophesy the modern emergence of New Age spirituality. South of the border, he encounters resistance from the Peruvian government and church authorities who believe the document will undermine traditional family values. While dodging evil soldiers, paranoid priests, and pseudoscientific researchers, our hero sequentially discovers all 9 insights during a series of chance encounters. It's a real page-turner. It's crap! It's one thing to read a book and have... It's like reading The Lord of the Rings. There's some guy out there right now that's starting a religion based on that. Oh, Gollum. You know, get out of here, will you?
Was it Opus Dei you're thinking of?
Opus Dei, that's it. That don't even exist, does it? I don't think it exists. No, wait a minute, yes it does. Opus Dei does exist. It started in 1922. Okay. Opus Dei exists as a Catholic organization, a support organization in 1922 of a bunch of guys wearing funny beanies that put on carnivals and raise money for, you know, old nuns. It ain't some ancient order of cloaked figures just thrusting a dagger down into a fresh pink-cheeked baby. That's what I read. My son, Alex, read this Da Vinci Code. He's going, no, you gotta understand, it's really heavy. It's heaviosity. I'm like, yeah. What's heavy, man? Opus Dei, it's an ancient thing. My bare rear end, it's an ancient thing. I'll look it up on the internet right now. There it is, man. 1922. It was started by some guy named Eddie, and he had a carnival, and they gave out, they punched balloons and crap like that. Talk about the only evil secret society I know about is the one that puts on my church's carnival every year. Talk about evil and weird. You guys putting one more of those reverse roller coasters, man, I'm going to vomit. So, Da Vinci Code is Harry Potter for guys that don't think they're reading Harry Potter. It was written by a dude, get a load of the guy that wrote it, Dan Brown. He might as well be selling lawnmowers. Hi, I'm Dan Brown, and when I'm not writing the Da Vinci Code and all that other rubbish, I'd like to introduce you to what I use to trim the... So we got the magnolia coming in this year, and of course that damn creeping vine drives me ape crap. So I use this new weed-eating, weed-whacking, it's something, I don't know, my kid made it. The Da Vinci Code, written by Morty Feldman. Available now in paperback. The Celestine Prophecy, written by Ace Rothstein. Guy by the name of James Redfield. How about Jim Redfield? Don't give me that James stuff. Any guy that uses James instead of Jim, I don't dig it. I'm telling you right now, I don't like it. Guys that are named Alexander as opposed to Al, bugs me. Guys that are named Philip instead of Phil, drives me ape. I'm just that kind of a guy. What's your name, Bob? No, it's Robert. You want to say, are you gay? And of course, no, you're not gay, right? No, I'm straight. How dare you? Why do you think I'm gay? Well, how about can I call you Bob? No, you may not call. I want to be called Robert. Why? Because that's the name my mother gave me. Yeah, but the short name for Robert is Bob. Well, I would like you not to use that in my presence. It's almost like you're calling them the N-word. Hey, Bob. I told you not to say that! Your name's Daniel? It's Dan. Donald? It's Don. Christopher Pelton? No. Chris Pelton. Or on a good day, Christine. I'm kidding around, Chris. They ever call you Janice and Gary? They call you Jan? That's so butch, though, isn't it? Jan. All right, guys, coming up is our mailbag. And if I get any mail about the Da Vinci Code, I think I'm going to slit my own... I think I'm going to sacrifice myself to the Mother Goddess or something. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Opus Dei began in 1928. For those of you who are reading the Da Vinci Code and think it's some kind of chaos or thrush or KGB or some evil organization that is out to co-opt the world's governments, here's the fact. Opus Dei, despite how it's portrayed in the Da Vinci Code, there ain't nobody running around pumping bullets into guys' stomachs. It is kind of a, offbeat organization. They reject the way they're characterized in this novel Da Vinci Code as a super secret society of weird asses. I mean, they may be, but they're not out murdering people. Here's the thing about this Opus Dei. It's a lay organization. I mean, you can join and not be a priest, but if you're a senior member, you're expected to contribute all of your money to the organization and be celibate. New members only have to contribute a percentage of their organization, or of their money. But that's like any club. And, every club's got their rules. They've got another thing, and this is a long-standing tradition in Catholicism. They have a tradition of beating themselves. It's called corporal mortification. They whip themselves in order to emulate the suffering of Jesus. And because... Here's the whole trip with Catholics. And I know this having gone to Catholic school every day of my life and seeing Jesus hanging off that cross, which is the difference between Catholics and other Christians. Catholics always remind you that Jesus got nailed to that cross, baby, and he's up there. And we do the Stations of the Cross on Fridays during Lent. That means we go through each step of Jesus Christ's progression up to Calvary. And the stations are when he fell down, and when he got his face wiped, and when he got Simon to help out, and when he got the weeping women of Jerusalem, and when his mother said hello, and when he fell down again, and then the Romans kicked his ass, and then he went up, and they nailed him. And each step of the way is a Station of the Cross. Now, some Catholics go out on a limb a little bit, and they say, that's not good enough, I want to actually suffer the way he did. And so they beat the crap out of themselves with, I don't know what, their own belts, or they have other guys do it. I mean, that's about as weird as Opus Dei gets. And it's an extremely conservative group of people. They do not believe in the use of birth control. They portray homosexuality as evil. In fact, you might even call them absolutely reactionary and bigoted. Considering homosexuality to be evil is sort of now, I think we can all agree, is a bigotry bordering on a kind of racist mentality. That's just all there is to it. I understand traditional people and their religious beliefs, but to consider homosexuality to be an evil thing, you've got to be real old school, racist, bigoted. You ain't got all your marbles, man. Unless, of course, you want to fool around with it philosophically, which is what a lot of people do. Look, homosexuality is evil. However, the people that practice it are fine. I like them. A lot of them are friends of mine, and we hang out. In fact, I have sex with a lot of them. But I just don't. But the act itself, see, that's what people do when they recognize times are passing them by, science is passing them by, and science will always pass by people like this because science changes. The understanding of human behavior changes because our understanding changes. So in order for you not to look too antiquated, you say things like, I hate the sin, not the sinner. That is the way of a bigot trying to stay contemporary. It's got nothing to do with anything other than they're trying to stay locked into contemporary times, and so they come up with that kind of baloney. All right, so that's the whole thing on Opus Dei. I don't even know why the hell I even hung out as long as I did with that BS. It's time now, though, for our mailbag on the Phil Hendry Show. Phil, I love your show. Recent hysteria over rising oil prices reminds me of the first show of yours that I ever heard. It was a couple of years back, and one of your guests was on the show selling a backyard petroleum locator. It amounted to an overpriced shovel. Your guest suggested it was better than nothing, and he began to intimidate callers by asking them if they were happy to be picking up the soap in the shower for OPEC. Thanks, Brian. Boy, ain't that the truth. Phil, do you remember the movie All Quiet on the Western Front? In that movie, soldiers were randomly selected for execution. The Bush administration is taking our soldiers to military court-martial, much like the movie from 70 years ago, and expecting them, executing them. They are getting dishonorable discharges in prison time at hard labor. No, that's not executing them, sir. They're getting dishonorable discharges and some prison time. I haven't heard of any hard labor yet. This means they will not be able to vote anymore, since these are federal convictions. They will not be able to get jobs in most places. So in other words, it wasn't enough. You couldn't really compare it to being executed, so you're laying out all of this, right, sir? Maybe you'll get to actually execution at some point. Including returning to their civilian jobs, reservists, while the CIA operatives and officers who are directing this will get off with reprimands or will never be identified at all. G.W. Bush is doing this. It is his CIA who set these people up to take the fall for his Iran-Contra-style dirty war. God, where do you begin with an imbecile like this? First of all, learn how to spell. And I mean, when he says, you know, executing is not the worst of it. Now, there's some stuff in here. He butchers words. Returning to their civilian jobs. T-O-O-T-H-E-R-E. Steve. Phil, hybrids used the electric engine in high traffic and regular engine for highways. So if you use the hybrid mainly for highway driving, the miles per gallon will be very much like regular cars. Well, that's interesting. My favorite line of the show was in the middle of a bit where Phil's talking to Margaret and she's asking if she's real. And he's telling her she's not and making her husband smack her on the thigh. Then he drops her into South Central or somewhere with all the blacks. And then when she goes to hang up, she asks Phil if she still exists after she hangs up. And he says no. She then says, that sucks. I want to exist. Margaret Gray. That's from... All right, we're going to get back to them. I ran out of time. I've got a few more letters to read, and then I will comment on some of this drivel that I'm getting from you guys about the Iraq War. It's the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Getting back to our mailbag now. And this letter comes to us from David. The ad-libbed line made me howl with laughter. When Phil was discussing religious holidays with the Iraqi gentleman and the two guests, he said, I don't get Ernest Ainsley's birthday off, and he cured me of a neck goiter. That, along with his Muslim character stating that Christians have stupid haircuts, was just what I needed for a laugh. David, in Memphis, Tennessee, a listener on AM 990. Thank you, David. Firing Rumsfeld would appease the Arabs and the American anti-war crowd much the same as dumping 100 pounds of bloody meat into the water would appease a bunch of sharks. Imagine Bush trying to get through the Senate a new Secretary of Defense without the Democrats using filibusters in turn and turn it into a constant commercial against the war. Additionally, it sends a message that if we find out, say, an FBI oversteps civil liberty guidelines in some field office, that Ashcroft should be fired and that the whole Patriot Act should be called into question even more. It would be a disaster to allow those who don't care about protecting this country to have Rumsfeld's scalp to wave as a trophy. Tim and Phoenix. Yeah, you're right. Vernon Dozier is king, Phil. Over the past few months, he has taken over as my all-time favorite guest. It would be really great to have a Belmar Academy coach's polo shirt. I have to go now, Phil. It's dinner time. We're having Franks and beans. Dave.
All right, and...
Hey, Phil, I started riding my bike to work in an effort to cut back on the amount of raghead oil I buy. With every pedal, I think to myself, this is one less dollar you get from me, you towel-wrapping, bathrobe-wearing raghead. Jeez. The more my legs ache and my lungs burn from hauling my fat ass to work on a bike, the better I feel knowing that as small as it is, I'm starting to make myself less reliant on foreign oil. Keep up the great work, John, Mountain View. Hello, baby, John. Although you're racist garbage. But thanks for listening. All right. There's our letter, our mailbag, and our letters to Phil and all this stuff. And I wanted to just address one thing, because that guy deserves, this letter deserves to be talked about point by point. I really honestly want to say this about this letter from Steve when he says, do you remember the movie All Quiet on the Western Front? You remember that letter that I just read? Because he's making points that a lot of people make. I don't know why it is. I think it's because we're frustrated sometimes with our country and we are so angry that we have to find a way to wake people up. So we immediately go to a comparison that makes no logical sense. For instance, comparing Bush to Hitler. Of course, that is the most utterly asinine thing to do. And I guess the effect is to anger people such as myself and other people who, you know, really think and use their brains. But what happens is it begins to take on a life of its own, and people begin to believe it. To compare, for instance, what Israel's doing on the West Bank to Palestinians to what the Nazis did to the Jews also is utterly ridiculous, and it shows that you don't understand history if you really believe it. And I think the people that say it don't really believe it, but it takes on a life of its own. Suddenly everybody is accepting as fact that somehow the Israelis are stormtroopers. Keep in mind, folks, there's 5 million Israelis, 500 million Arabs. Excuse me? who is actually, you know, being pressured and threatened here? And also to compare a film like All Quiet on the Western Front and the soldiers that were randomly selected for execution in that film to the soldiers who have been court-martialed because of the prison abuse is another one of those dumb comparisons. And they're made by people who either understand that it's a dumb comparison but are hoping to influence less intelligent individuals, or they're made by less intelligent individuals because they can't pick the facts of the case apart enough and analyze them enough to really make a, you know, a sensible conclusion. Court-martialing a soldier for actions that may have violated the military code of conduct and justice is right. It's not taking the guy out. So this writer, Steve, understands that. So he goes on and says, and the guy won't be able to get a job, and the guy won't be able to vote, and he won't be able to do a lot of things. I doubt very seriously, John, that that's going to happen. The United States military may put this guy in the brig for a year. Whether it's hard labor, I don't know. But I will tell you this much. I guarantee you that there will be nothing on that man's record that will make his life post-military difficult. Right now, the things you read are part public relations, part disinformation. The military wants the American public to believe that these guys are getting their asses kicked. And believe me, folks, when you have to go to prison for a year, it's a pretty good ass kicking, considering all you did was put a dog collar on a guy. But okay, all right, I accept that. I doubt very seriously whether the military is going to keep on this guy's record any kind of infraction or violation that's going to affect his life after the military. It will be expunged. Guaran-freaking-teed, Jim. Don't worry about it.
Well, they can't do that. They have to do...
Yeah, they can do it. They do it all the time. Civil courts do it all the time. The police do it all the time. Now, where else do I want to go with this? Prison time, heart... Oh, yeah, here it is. This is the one that I really wanted to say. The CIA, these are the guys that directed these soldiers, and they're getting off with reprimands or will never be identified at all. They won't be identified at all. The CIA doesn't get reprimanded for jack squat. Don't worry about that. That's number one. Number two, the CIA is doing exactly what the American people have demanded them to do. They're getting tough. And they're using their spook tactics. Now, some soldiers got caught in the vice. It's unfortunate, it's wrong, but please refer to my answer concerning whether this guy will have it on his record. These soldiers will be seen as pawns by the military. Right now, the public is getting thrown a whole lot of fresh red meat, to use the analogy that another guy used in another letter about something else. It, you know, they're assuaging our anger, and yeah, we're going to put these guys in prison, and yeah, they're going to get their asses kicked. Just how bad do you want to have their asses kicked, Mr. and Mrs. America, for putting dog collars on guys? Because that's the only thing that's been proven so far. The only thing that's been proven so far. Let me repeat it. The only thing that's been proven so far. How bad do you want these soldiers to get punished? And just when are we going to wake up, take a look in the mirror, and sort of realize how utterly stupid we look? Going crazy about this Iraq prison thing when that poor kid, Nick Berg, still gets short shrift in the media, and what happened to him, well, you know, it just, those things happen. Those are the guys that flew the planes and the buildings. I don't want to keep harping on that, but I got to keep reminding you. They cut that young man's head off while he was still alive. They threw the planes into the buildings. They killed Americans. They killed a lot of them, and everybody's treating them like there's some kind of, like they got diplomatic status. Like there's somehow an independent entity that needs to be respected somehow. And what they do is understandable, given the horrible, evil place that America is. It doesn't stand up, folks. It is not standing up. None of this pitch about America being abusive to Iraqi citizens to the extent that we're murdering them, sodomizing them, or otherwise doing it with the full consent of George Bush, it just ain't holding up. If we've got maverick soldiers doing things that shouldn't be done, or a CIA that is operating in the way that the American people mandated they do post 9/11, that's just the way things are going. We are not Nazis. I know that there are many of us that just want to do the mea culpa on that thing. We're Nazis. We're bad. We are so bad. And not only that, but my dear friends in England and France, why, they won't even talk to me anymore. And we just look bad all over the world. You know what? Let me just say it. Maybe I'll be the first American to say this. I don't care. I don't care how we look internationally. All you frogs and Brits, all you cats, kiss my Irish, you know what, man. I don't care how we look to you. I care only about one thing. I care about my country, the United States of America, okay? So if you're all disapproving of us, well, I tell you what. Just take care of our soldiers that are lying in your soil and keep your big fat mouth shut about everything else, and we'll just get along fine without your asses. How about that? Let's just agree to disagree. Or in the words of William Holden in the great movie Stalag 17, next time I see you guys on the street, let's just pretend we never met. How about that? The whole world is looking at us as... So, since when did we care how the world looked at us? I think we bought a little bit of respect by the fact that we've got our guys laying in their soil over there. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I love it how they like to say, you know, the French stood by us in the Revolution. They stood by us. There were also Americans dying in that war. Now, exactly how many uniformed frogs do we have hitting the beach there at Normandy? Could you refresh my memory on that one? Just how many cats, in how many French soldiers were helping us as we were busting through the countryside there? And don't talk to me about the French resistance. I know all about those guys. They were very brave men and women. They were also communists, which I suppose doesn't matter in these days, but back then it really bothered people. So, you know what? I don't care how the world looks at me. Now, I'm just speaking for me. The rest of you guys, you want to wring your hands and get all upset about it? That's fine. Go watch Michael Moore's latest concoction of, you know, fact and fiction. Is it fact? It's a documentary. Is it fiction? It's satire. It's two piles of dog crap in one. You look at Moore, man, that guy's big enough to contain both bull crap and the usual variety of horse manure. He's got it all going on in there, man. Go look at his movie, go wring your hands, go feel bad, go blame George Bush, go blame the CIA, go blame the American government, the State Department, everybody else. Just go ahead and do the easy thing, man. Blame us. That means you don't have to encounter the real evil that's out there. That means you can maybe win friends among Al-Qaeda. They'll think that you're a real solid citizen because you really know who the enemy is, you know? I mean, maybe they'll invite you to their next head-cutting-off party. Maybe they might even send you a nice, fresh, new head in the mail, huh? Go try to make pals out of all of the Muslim extremists in the Middle East. I'm sure they'll just really appreciate all the human shields that went over there and pretended like they were, like, down there with all the third world people. I mean, are you kidding me or what, man? I was raised in this country around all these bourgeois who feel so guilty about their wealth that they got to pretend they're really sorry for all of the horrible things America's done. We ain't done nothing that the rest of the world hasn't been doing, too. As a matter of fact, as far as international crimes are concerned, the United States has been taking a fall for a whole lot of other countries for too freaking long, man. It's time we quit freaking apologizing for being alive and breathing. So let me just say this to my fine friends, whether they're in Europe or China or wherever the hell you're at, man, Lapland, out there in Mozambique, all them cats down in Africa who, frankly, I love you guys, and you're the next big marketplace, you know, for America, don't you? You don't think Bush is sending money down there for AIDS just because he's a sweetheart. I mean, he is, but he knows business. We're going to start opening up that African market, and you Chinese cats, you can go pound sand. What do you think of that, man? We don't want any more of your freaking, what do you call those things? Your dopey-looking umbrellas. Forget it, man. I don't want none of your t-shirts either, man. We're going down to Africa. That's the next big marketplace. We're doing business with the next big capitalist entity on the planet, Africa. You think I'm kidding? Look at all that money those Nigerian banks have got. They just want you to keep it for a while, if you'll just send them your account number. All right, 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Don't forget our website, www.philhenryshow.com, for all your Phil Henry Show needs, whether it's a backstage pass to hear our archived audio, or whether it's a gift that you need. We have wonderful gift ideas. Just go to our website. And this month, we're featuring our unique 16-can cooler with a built-in AM/FM radio. It's our Father's Day gift. You really got to lay this on Dad. This thing keeps a 16-can 12-pack nice and cold, and it also has that built-in AM/FM radio that you can unzip. It's all made out of vinyl. It's a beautiful thing, and it's got our show logo on it. He can take it anywhere he wants and stay drunk all the time, or whatever, you know, Cokes. Also, our garden set, if your old man likes to, you know, Papa likes to garden, but this is more of a chick thing, but I don't know. It's got a five-piece garden tool set. No kidding. Featuring the Western Estates Country Club logo. Durable portable stool, insulated cooler, tote bag, five-piece garden tool set. Perfect for the homeowner who wants to comply with the Western Estates CC&Rs. It's all available on our website at www.philhenryshow.com. You know, I know that losing weight is a tough thing. You hear me pitching, of course, Cortisolin, which I very much believe in. Many of you guys try alternative cures. But this is one that... this is one that's a little drastic. There's a device that will limit how wide you can open your mouth. It's a dieting so-called gimmick. A dentist sticks it in your face, and you can only open your mouth like that big, which means even if you had a pile of mashed potatoes on your plate the size of the Matterhorn at Disneyland, you'd only be able to this little tiny bites. Some cat came up with that one thinking you're going to lose weight. Are you nuts, man? The guy that wants to eat, he's going to... you could stick that thing in his face. Let's say, I got an idea. How about this? How about wiring your mouth shut? Have you thought about that? The guy's going to figure out how to get it up. He'll just start inhaling the potatoes. He'll just start snorting pork chops. Honest to God. Scientific Intake is the company. It believes its DDS system is more palatable than a strict diet or surgery. The company expects to begin selling its devices this week for $400 a piece. To get the device, a dentist takes a mold of your mouth, sends it off to Scientific Intake, which produces the plastic retainer-like gizmo, ships it back to the dentist, he shoves it up into your face. Then you go home, and someone says, hey, Bob, how about a nice, big, thick, triple-stack corned beef sandwich, and you could only open your mouth wide enough to get a matchbook in it? You got to eat the sandwich one slice of ham at a time. I'm sure. How do you talk?
Hey, how you doing? Oh, I got this thing. Oh, I'm not really trying to, you know. Anyway, how you guys all doing? Welcome to the Hill Henry Show. I got a dental device, and I'm trying to just... I don't want to eat, okay? And I'm trying to just keep it... it's hard on my cortisol deal. All right, let's go do a character voice right now. Hey, Argan, how you doing?
I'm really good. Good, how are you?
That's great. Now let's talk to Harry R. Harry, how you doing?
Harry, that's great.
All right, is it entertaining? Okay, go to our website and get all our archive Connie.
Because the guy's got some dental device shoved in his face, so he don't eat no... he doesn't eat a too big of a thick sandwich or something. Hi, I got a dental device in now, man. I'm solid. Really? You going to lose that weight? Yeah. Give me a steak sandwich. I'll have a side of mashed potatoes. Give me some of them, curly fries on top of that. I'll have a big bowl of chocolate ice cream with some, syrup on it and everything. What the hell are you doing, man? Hey, I got that dental device in. I can only open my mouth about 2 inches wide. Yeah, right. You'll be losing the weight fast. With 30% of U.S. adults considered to be fat slobs, health officials, nutritionists, and even entrepreneurs such as Longley have been searching for the answers. DDS gadget could help, but some were mystified as to why anyone would spend hundreds of dollars for this approach. You don't need a $500 appliance. All you got to do is quit eating so much, said Madeline Fernstrom, who is herself 800 pounds. Thanks, Madeline. This has been the Phil Henry Show. We are brought to you each and every night live from our studios in Arcadia, California, underneath Santa Anita Racetrack, where I can just easily walk up to the $100 window anytime I need to. Thanks, everybody. See you tomorrow night.
Great show as always, Mr. Great show as always, Mr.
Forget it.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.